Well, it's really wonderful to see so many people here, and some of us thought Bob Rowland had walked into the door, and it's his brother Jack. Jack and his wife are visiting with us. Jack is an elder at the Kingwood Church of Christ, and they've been to see Bob and Ann Rowland recently, and they tell us that Bob is not doing as well as Ann is. But we're glad that both of them are still living, and I get word from Ann and Bob quite often, ask about you, and we're glad that they are in our service today. I'm going to adjust this. I don't guess I will. Somehow that's never been a very workable microphone. We're glad to have many of you. Some of you have come because it's Mother's Day. One lady is here from Wyoming and to see her mother, and they've come to our island. And Andy and Wolf are with us from Ardmore, Oklahoma, and they're here for Mother's Day. Usually I speak on a subject appropriate to Mother's Day, but this year I've decided not to, for this reason. A few weeks ago, when I was doing my study to prepare the lesson for the subject of Jesus' resurrection, it dawned on me that there is another event that we seldom speak about that was very important, and that was the ascension of Jesus. This year, I'm talking about some of the things that we believe as Christians that are taught in the scripture. And it occurred to me that we don't talk about the ascension very often. In fact, I was trying to remember a hymn that might have reference to the ascension, and I remembered only one. There may be more. Butch maybe knows some songs that I have forgotten. But in the hymn, "We Saw Thee Not," the last verse says, "We walked not with the chosen few who saw thee from the earth ascend, who raised to heaven their wondering view, then low to earth all prostrate bend. But we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies." That's the only hymn that I could think of that had reference to Jesus' ascension. I'm sure it is a more important subject than the attention that we have given it. I don't think in all these years I've ever delivered a sermon or did a great study of the subject of the ascension, and that's what I am doing today. When you think of the life of Jesus, if you were to outline the study of it, most of us would begin with his birth in Bethlehem, and then through the cross and the resurrection, and that would be about the extent of the subject material that we would cover. The ascension would be left out, although it is very much an important topic, and I hope to increase our appreciation for that teaching this morning. The Gospel of Matthew does not record or reveal the ascension. The Gospel of Mark, in that 16th chapter, which is textually challenged, there is a reference to it. In Mark 16, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied him. The Gospel of Luke has a statement of the ascension of Jesus. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. That's the abbreviated statement of the ascension. Interestingly, the most detailed account of the ascension is found in the book of Acts rather than in the Gospels. The first chapter of Acts begins with that story. It reads Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. You know that Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. So he was saying that in the book of the Gospel of Luke, he talked about what Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised you, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After this, he was taken up. Literally, the words that are used, taken up, mean he was lifted up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. In my studies of this passage, the true sense of the words used in the original are that a cloud lifted him out of their sight. I guess I had always thought that a cloud hiding him from their sight was like it was a cloudy day and they couldn't see anymore. But the real emphasis is that he was taken up and lifted up by this cloud. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." The story of the activity of the apostles then really begins with telling about the ascension of Jesus, because before he ascended, he gave them the great commission to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." The interesting thing about the story of the ascension is that people have trouble accepting it because of our modern knowledge and understanding of the universe. The modern mind sometimes objects to the ascension story because the story assumes a three-story universe, that is, the earth in the middle, heaven above, and Hades beneath the earth. And they say that our knowledge of the universe is not that of a three-story universe. Well, all I've got to say is that The story is told in language that the people of that day would have understood, and therefore it is presented in that way so that they would understand it. I'm sure that many details about the ascension are not revealed in Scripture. And even today, the best way that we can express the ascension is, again, with the same ideas. We today speak of going up into heaven, and we speak of going down to hell. So the modern mind is not that different from the ancient mind. Jesus' resurrection body was different from his physical body as a man in many respects. It is true that it was a bodily resurrection, as the story in the Gospels about John going to the tomb and looking inside the tomb and seeing the grave cloths kind of in the place where they ought to be and not scattered about as if someone had escaped them. And it is then that he believed in the resurrection. The identity of Jesus, of course, depended on him having a body after the resurrection that would be recognized as the same one he had before the crucifixion. He appeared to many disciples over the period of 40 days before his ascension. And yet there are many things about that body that strike our curiosity. We know that the limitations that are normally placed upon a human body were not present when Jesus was raised. He could suddenly appear in a room. Walls and doors did not seem to interfere with his ability to move about freely. So in that sense, the body was not, as Plato said, a prison for the soul. And in the ascension story, the body somehow was able to defy the law of gravity as he ascended on the cloud until he was out of their sight. That must have been a marvelous experience for those who saw. Like I say, this is important, but it is not something that we usually talk about or think about. I tried to think of the significance of the ascension that I can bring to you. I thought of four things that I want to just state. The ascension is important because it ended Jesus' period of self-limitation, which was characteristic of his life on earth. We sometimes celebrate that. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, I know you'll find this reading familiar to you. The Apostle Paul says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." In this passage, Paul is celebrating the fact that there was a time of self-limitation. placed upon Jesus by virtue of his becoming one of us. There is, and I've forgotten where it is, but I recall a statement that the Apostle Paul made about an Old Testament story that was familiar to the church. And it's where Moses strikes a rock and the water comes forth. He does that twice, but this is the one in which he is approved of God. And Paul says, and that rock was Christ. We seldom study or think about what Jesus was doing before he became a man. John's gospel tells us this. This is a marvelous statement that John made in the opening words of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And the Word became flesh, and that was Jesus Christ. So there is a period of limitation when Christ, the creator of the world, chose to limit himself, as you and I are limited, by having the body and the work of a servant. Well, the transfiguration, I mean, not transfiguration, the ascension, ended that period of Jesus self-limiting. And now he has all authority in heaven and on earth. The second reason why the ascension is important is because it was the occasion of exaltation and glorification. Repeatedly, the Bible teaches us that Jesus at present is at the right hand of God. That signifies a place of equaled honor and glory. And the ascension story says Jesus ascended to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. It also marked the entrance of resurrected humanity in heaven. There are other stories of Jesus bringing people back from the dead, but none of them ascended and none of them had the body of the ascension, which will be necessary for the believer after they were raised from the dead. The best example of this, of course, is Lazarus, that was raised from the dead just shortly before Jesus' crucifixion. No one had ascended into heaven with a new body before Jesus. He is the first fruits of that. The last thing I want to say about the ascension is something that's very important. It introduced his present work in heaven on our behalf. I'm thinking that next week I'd like to study a little bit about that. What does Jesus do for us now? Is he just waiting as we're waiting for his return, or is he active on our behalf? I believe so strongly that he is active on our behalf that probably next Sunday I want to talk about that. That his present work in heaven on our behalf is a marvelous thing that we need to tap into spiritually and recognize and give God the glory for. And so the ascension marks the beginning of that period of time in which Jesus is at work in various ways for your benefit and for mine. And I hope that if you can come, that you'll come next Sunday. And as I mentioned, these benefits, that you will be able to relate to them in a personal way of how, well, that's been true of you in your life. I know it's been true of me. The wonderful thing about getting older is that we have more experiences that we can look back on and say, yes, that was the place where Jesus was my help. And that's what he is for us today. And it all started with his ascension. We're going to end our lesson there. It's time to quit. We always invite people to confess their faith in Christ, to be baptized if they want to be at our services, or if they have a prayer request. I do want to announce one prayer request. Danny Clark's brother, Jonathan, has had some recent tests, and he's going to be battling cancer also. And I was asking Danny today about his brother. So add Jonathan Clark to the prayer list of those that we are especially praying for in their health. We're going to sing the invitation song, two verses of it. And if you're subject to it, if you'll come to the front while we stand to sing.
When the Savior